Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand that finances can be confusing, but you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I am joined here by my co-host, George Amador III, and I am loving this month, G, because this month has been the frequently asked questions when it comes to money, and thank you, guys. Thank you that you have gone to info@crystalclearfinances.com. Thank you for the kudos and the shout-outs. But also, what I appreciate is the questions that you're sending in. So, G, what I thought today is that we'd answer a lot of those questions that have come in, but I do want us just to revert back just a little bit to last week because of the Social Security. There were two quick areas that we just needed to touch on a little bit more, and then let's do rapid fire, or our version of rapid fire, through the rest of our questions that have come in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's great. And we're wrapping up the month of July. It's crazy that we're already here in the year. It's flying by. And it's really, really good. The FAQs, or Frequently Asked Questions of Money, has been a great series. Again, info@crystalclearfinances.com. You can send us any questions. We love to answer those here on the radio, on YouTube, and then just in general, give us a call. We can answer those questions too. So let's talk for a moment. Let's finish up a little bit. Last week, we talked about Social Security. We spent a lot of time on your personal benefit, the individual benefit that you can get. Although there is a lot of individuals who may not be eligible for an individual benefit because maybe they didn't work, stay at home, or maybe they only had a few years of working history, so the benefit's very, very small. So we do have to take a moment and talk about the spousal benefit, also a survivor benefit for some people as well that's available. So real quick, basically the way that the spousal benefit works is if you're married and your spouse is eligible for an individual benefit, maybe, you know, I think of my parents. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, right? So you think about this situation. She doesn't have an individual Social Security benefit because her working history was short. So there is, she is eligible, however, for a spousal benefit. So the benefit that my dad will get for his Social Security, she's eligible for a percentage of. Now, that percentage will depend on when she decides and when he decides to take Social Security. So remember we talked about before, 62 to 67. Important to understand when you can take it. Well, if in this example, my dad takes Social Security at 62, then the benefit eligible for my mom is off of his 62 benefit. So remember, if his benefit's reduced because he's taking it early, then her benefit that she's eligible for is reduced. But if he waits till 67, his full retirement age, she can take and be a higher benefit. Now, she also has the same ages available, 62 to 67, and even until age 70. Typically, you don't wait that long at that point, but you could. And so how it works is, as a spouse, if I'm receiving a spousal benefit, if the individual, the breadwinner of the home, takes at age 67 for their full benefit,
full retirement age,
and the spouse takes at full retirement age, they can get up to half of the individual's benefit. So in that case, the breadwinner of the family at full retirement age is $2,000 a month. The spouse at their full retirement age is $1,000 a month. It's half of that benefit. However, that spouse can take early. That spouse can take as early as age 62, where that benefit will be reduced by a certain percentage, and it can be reduced as much as a third. So if the full retirement age benefit of the breadwinner is 2,000, and the spouse decides to take all the way as early as age 62, you're going to see about a third of that benefit coming home to you. So the spouse has an option from 62 all the way to full retirement age. So does the individual taking. But we need to know that, first of all, it's out there and you can take it. And second of all, the age in which the spouse takes versus the breadwinner takes will also impact which option is best for you.
And I think that's such a good point to bring up. We won't belabor it and go into a lot more detail, but just letting people know that, because a lot of times that's some found money that we're usually finding for clients. The other area, and unfortunately we've had a lot this year where we've had to walk widows through the death of their spouses, and it's just been a, it's not been good.
Tough,
But one of the things that has been helpful is to be able to tell them, listen, you're over the age of 60, let's go ahead aside and let's turn on the survivor benefit that mm-hmm. that's allowed to you. So let's get that money coming in.
Yes.
Now, if they have kids that are younger, that's a whole nother thing. There's mm-hmm. money for that. But just letting the spouse know, the surviving spouse know that they are entitled to Social Security. They don't have to wait to that 62 to 67. They can take that survivor benefit, leave theirs alone, mm-hmm. and if they want, wait and take theirs at age 70 if that's going to work better for them. Mm-hmm. But just wanted to put that out there. And again, I want to encourage our listeners and those of you viewing us on the YouTube channel is that this is what we do. This is mm-hmm. a component of what we do. Yeah. We can sit down, like we said on last week's program, this is not just software that says take it now. We want to look at the whole picture and say, this is when to take it the best way. Here's how to take it, and then walk them through.
Yeah.
Last thing before we segue into the questions that have come in is dealing with how do they know what amount they can even qualify? Because remember, mm-hmm. we used to get, or you may not remember, but I used to get these white and green pieces of paper that came in the mail that told me all about my Social Security, and then just 1 year, they were gone.
Gone, yeah.
What do they do, G?
Sure, absolutely. So the Social Security website is great. SSA.gov mm-hmm. is where you can go to get more information. There's a couple different calculators you can use. There's one that's called the Quick Calculator, and I encourage everybody to use that first. You literally just need your date of birth, your current earnings, click submit, and it'll give you a pretty good estimate as to what your Social mm-hmm. Security is. I do this with clients in the office all the time. So ssa.gov, go to the Quick Calculator and get that info.
Perfect.
The second place on there is you can actually create an account online, a Social Security account through their website, where you will get your detailed information. Mm-hmm. That is a little bit lengthier of a process. You got to put in all of your information like normal. But you can actually get your benefits that way too. If that's something you want to see, if you're very close to taking the benefit, closer in age, do that one. Mm-hmm. If you're in your 50s or 40s and just want to have an idea, the Quick Calculator is great. But either way, I would go on to ssa.gov and get more information.
Absolutely.
There.
So thank you. All right. Yeah. So now let's kind of segue. We've kind of put a bow on that when it comes to Social Security. You want more information, of course, give us a call at 518-433-7181, and then we'll go over that with you. But now let's go to the questions. And of course, yes, I did put the questions in order because I put my favorite one first that deals with, well, one of my favorites, deals with life insurance. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people say, Crystal, I've heard that you've used it. I know that a lot of your clients are using this to help create wealth. But I don't understand, basically, when it comes to it, how do I become my own banker? And why would I want to become my own banker? And I thought this information was phenomenal, and it may put your mind at ease to know, hey, it's not just Crystal and G that are saying this is a good idea. Let me just give you some statistics of some people you may have heard of that use life insurance and the cash value to help create wealth. So President Kennedy had substantial life insurance holdings. Franklin D. Roosevelt held a significant portion of his wealth. In fact, $562,000 in cash value life insurance, which you may say, Crystal, that's really not that much. But if you go back and you look at it, it would be equivalent to $7 million in today's dollars. How about this? John McCain funded his presidential campaign with cash value from his life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, heard that name before. Well, he has six policies. According to the public financial disclosure right now, he has six policies with MassMutual Life Insurance Company. Mm-hmm. Then we look at in 2014, Johnson & Johnson executives put $23 million in cash value life insurance. So hopefully, G, we're getting a theme here that this isn't just something that, hey, maybe Crystal and George are talking about it because it might work. We're talking about John D. Rockefeller. He used cash value life insurance not only to build, but to preserve the wealth for his family. When he died in 1937, John D. Rockefeller was worth an estimated $1.5 billion. And that's equivalent to somewhere between $243 to $341 billion in today's dollars. Mm-hmm. And what did he use? He used life insurance. I promise I'll quick finish, but just give me just a few more, because billionaires Bill Gates and Warren Buffett found a way to invest a combined $1.5 billion, with a B, in cash value life insurance for their foundation. Approximately 3,800 banks own life insurance, own more than $190 billion, again, I'm using the B word, billion in cash value life insurance. Bank of America, I'm just going to list a few of them, has more money in cash value, $22 billion, than the value, than all the values of the 5,600 branches and the second tallest building in Manhattan. I mean, these guys are believing in it. J.P. Morgan has $11 billion in cash value. Wells Fargo, $19.3 billion. Citibank has approximately $6 billion. PNC Financial, they have $6.1 billion. I'm going to stop now. But what I'm just going to say is when we're looking at this, gee, you know what I feel like we're doing? I feel like we are taking concepts that the ultra wealthy used to become wealthy because they didn't wake up when it first started. They didn't wake up wealthy. They figured it out. How am I going to build wealth and create wealth and preserve it and get it to the next generation? How am I going to get out of paying a ton of taxes? How am I going to do all these things? And they created it. Mm-hmm. And instead of being mad and saying, oh, those are the ultra wealthy people, why don't we become wealthy too? Mm-hmm. And we've taken that mindset of we can help mom, pa, America look at what they have and say, let's begin to put plans in place. Let's help them use life insurance to be able to fund their dreams. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people do we have? I mean, I don't even know the number off the top of my head that we've helped create the life insurance policies so they can use it as their own bank for their business, because we know Ray Kroc did it. That's how part of the way he paid for McDonald's. We all know that Walt Disney did it, right, in making sure that he was able to launch because banks weren't really too thrilled about lending money so you could make a park around a mouse. I mean, they didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And then you think also when it comes to, you had Ray Kroc, you had
J.C. Penney
in the Depression, took money out of his cash value and kept his employees paid. Mm-hmm. These are the tools to do it. So yes, I'm excited about it, but we're seeing that we're changing lives. So when we go back to the original question of, well, being your own banker, how do I become my own banker? Why should I do this? Mm-hmm. Here's some of the reasons why, and I believe that we sit down with clients and help them do it.
Yeah.
I think of yesterday's meeting that I just had. Young individual, I think he's 26, came in and said, I want to create this business. I'm a great saver, so that part, that helps. Mm-hmm. We looked at it and we said, this is the amount you need to put in to make sure you have an efficient contract. If you can't do that amount, we're going to wait. We'll use other things. But if you can do this amount, this is the path to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, the biggest thing, and I like that you started with the politicians, because there's something to say about that, right? Politicians who make our laws and know the laws of what's going on, taxes and else, mm-hmm. have all used this for a reason. And it's, yes, to create wealth. It's also to make sure that we're not paying more in taxes than needed. And if politicians are using it, then I think we all should pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, when we talk about becoming our own banker, really, at the end of the day, we have to look at where we're at today. And we know banks are not making us money right now. We're not going to make money by putting money in a bank account.
Oh, but they're making money.
Correct. But they're not making us money. So
correct.
If I'm not making money with thousands of dollars sitting in my savings account or my checking account, then I need to look elsewhere. And wealthy individuals, as you just alluded to, does that all the time. We've seen it in history. We know politicians are using it. So at the end of the day, becoming your own banker is not something because we think it's just a cool idea. It's mm-hmm. a tried and true philosophy
yes.
that is used for people to create and sustain wealth throughout mm-hmm. their entire lifetime, something that's really important. So how do you become your own banker? You have to first look at the alternatives for cash. Mm-hmm. Permanent life insurance is a great alternative to cash when set up the right way with the right account, doing it the way that's needed for you. We can absolutely do this. And it doesn't have to be these huge numbers. I think of individuals, you know, I've done this at $100, $200, $300 a month mm-hmm. that we can start with. It's, again, getting you in the mindset of, okay, I can save this money. I can start to put my wealth away. I can make more. I can be my own bank and I can use it someday.
Exactly. You know, one more thing before we take a quick break. They did a study on bankers, people that work on Wall Street, Fortune 1000 executives, and it showed that 51% of money and equity managers have zero stake in the funds they manage. So I'm just gonna pause there. So all those fancy things that they're telling everybody to do, 51% of them don't have a stake in that. Gee, that's huge. Yeah. I mean, I love when someone sits down with me and they're like, all right, Crystal, so you're telling me to build dividend paying, cash value, whole life policies in addition to the Roth and the other investments we're doing in the entire portfolio. Because again, it's just a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And they always say, do you have one? And when I can turn around and say, well, I have eight of them, and I'm able to say and be able to say, I started this one here because I wanted to just make sure it worked. I wanted to put my money where my mouth is and make sure that you weren't investing something that I wasn't investing mm-hmm. in as well. We need to understand that a lot of the investments, different things that are out there, G, that are being sold and pushed on people, the people doing it don't even have it in their own portfolio. Mm-hmm. That's scary to me. Mm-hmm. So as we transition to the break, if I was you listening to this, I would write down 518-433-7181 and give us a call, because let's look to see how that life insurance fits in your portfolio. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not waiting that one day, ooh, we'll be wealthy.
Yeah.
Why can't we begin to create the wealth? Or for those listening who say, Crystal, I do have wealth, we've got to find ways to preserve it mm-hmm. and get it tax-free to the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's super important to understand creating your own bank, being able to give yourself the wealth to create and preserve is super important and something that we can absolutely help you with along the way. Absolutely.
Perfect. All right, let's take a quick 30-second break and then we'll be back with more Crystal Clear Finances. Every day you choose which companies will have influence over the culture in your town. Every day the investments you own either support your beliefs or work against them. Every day you make that choice when you fund your retirement plan, because companies are empowered through your investments. Your resources grow their influence. Choose investments that reflect your values. Impact investing through Crystal Clear Finances. Call 518-433-7181 and gain confidence for every impact investment decision. And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. I'm here with George Amador III, my co-host, and we are supposedly doing rapid fire, frequently asked questions when it comes to money. But we are at least answering the questions that you've sent in. And thank you so much. Those who want to continue to send us questions, it's info@crystalclearfinances.com. And we'll be able to get those questions in an upcoming episode.
Yeah.
And what we want to focus on the rest of our time together are the remaining questions that come in, mm-hmm. came in. Hopefully we'll have enough time. And one of them I want to jump right into is, mm-hmm. when should I invest? Because how do I know when is the right time?
Absolutely. So when should you invest? Great question. The old question of what should I do? The biggest thing that I say about investing is it's not about timing the market, but it's about time in the market. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, when should you invest? As soon as possible. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. And that's not a recommendation to go say buy everything right this moment. The purpose of me saying that is you need time in the market to generate wealth, to compound interest, to grow your money. And if you're sitting there with cash on hand or investments going, I don't know what I should do. Should I get in? Should I not?
Or the market's too high.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you need to get into the market and start investing when you can, because it's about time in the market. So when mm-hmm. should you invest? Soon as possible. That's going to help you grow and create wealth along the way. Now, what you invest in, what is the right time? That's a different ballgame that we want to discuss with you, and that's very different person to person. Mm-hmm. I think a good piece of advice is look at your situation, mm-hmm. know what you're looking to accomplish, mm-hmm. and figure out the best resources, the best product, the tools to get you there, right? So that is going to be different individual to individual, and we need to know exactly when is the right time to have money in different accounts, IRAs, 401ks, brokerage accounts, life insurance, all these different areas, right? We're investing in ourselves as we start to put money in different mm-hmm. areas to grow our money, to compound our interest, to get rate of return. So we need to understand when the best time is, but starting early, starting often is super important. Mm-hmm. Now, I used to give seminars all over the country, and we used to go out and tell people, start early, start often. And there was a slide that I used to present, and it just stuck with me because it's so profound. You know, an individual who saves $3,000 a year from 25 to 35 mm-hmm. so for 10 years and then stops saving, that money growing all the way until they reach retirement or age 65 will be basically that $30,000 will turn into hundreds of thousands. In fact, almost $500,000 by the time they get to 65 versus the individual who starts at 35, does the same 3,000 all the way until 65 years old. So way more money than the first person, right? Didn't actually catch up. That individual who saved from 35 to 65 had less money than the individual who saved from 25 to 35 and stopped. Why? Compound interest, growing the money, taking advantage of being aggressive at a young age. That's important. Now, the individual who started at 25 and didn't stop, they had over $1 million available. So I say that to say, when we look specifically at when to start, what to do, starting early, starting often is important, even if it's small dollars amount dollar amounts today. It's important to get that. You get your mind right in terms of, okay, I need to put this money away. I need to save, pay myself. That's important.
Correct. And I just want to make a one comment there just for compliance purposes. Is it's not guaranteed. I mean, if you started now at 35, 25 and invested to 35, we're just showing in that example, it's been proven. They back tested it, showing they what funds they were in, the whole thing. So Jess, if you want more information on that, more clarity, you can give us a call at 518-433-7181. And I love what you said about it's not just should I invest? Really what they should be asking is, we already know you should be invest. It should be, what should I be investing in? Because that's the things that you want to be checking every year of, up, oh, we're going to do international. Nope, no more international. Now we're going to go a little bit more heavy in small cap or whatever the diversification is. So great question. So this one real quick, I'm going to send it over to you. Is cryptocurrency a real thing? And I know we did a whole session on that, but
we did session two, I believe it was. We talked more about cryptocurrencies. Is it a real thing? I would say yes and no. Yes, it is in terms of you can actually buy cryptocurrencies. You can invest in it. Is it a real thing in terms of what is what I would say back to that question. But is cryptocurrency something that I think maybe the question is more legitimate? I think yes, as a possibility to invest, it can be. Remember, cryptocurrency in the grand scheme of things is super, super, super new. I know it's been around a few years, but again, the stock market's been around for a lot more than a few years. And so in the grand scheme of things, it's very new. There's a lot of unknown about regulation. There's a lot unknown about, you know, what these things are going to do in the future. If you have some money that, hey, if you lost it, you wouldn't care. Maybe that's a great place to start. But ultimately, cryptocurrencies is definitely something that's up and coming. There's no doubt about it. People are talking about it all the time. Until we see more numbers backing things, you know, at the end of the day, right now, it's all on speculation. It's all on hype. If you want to ride the hype wave, be my guest. But remember the risks that you can run. So you just got to be careful with cryptos. But, you know, is it something you want to talk about? Give me a call. No problem. I love talking about that stuff.
Perfect. All right. So the next question, which I want to jump into, is do I have to sell all my investments to do impact investing? Well, if anyone's been listening to us for any length of time, we know this is a hot button for us because we believe that our resources empower companies so that they can make better products, they can impact their communities, and they grow their influence. So my resources grow a company's influence. So if I don't like what I see going on out there, maybe I don't put my money that helps grow the influence of that company. So we know impact investing is so critical in this day and age to put our money where our mouth is and line it up with what we believe. So we've had individuals that have come in that are in taxable accounts, right? We've been blessed. They've done really, really well in it. Now they're learning that they can invest according to how they believe and what their values are. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize this was in my account. So now we begin to work one by one, G, with each person. Some of them have said, I don't care. I'll pay the taxes on it, especially now because we're looking at capital gains have not been moved yet, right? There's talk that it's going to be, but as of right now, it hasn't been. So they're saying, you know what? I'm going to have to pay capital gains on this anyways. Why don't I sell everything now? Re-put me into impact investing and we're off to the races because now I can feel good about what I own. There are some that said, oh, that's a lot of taxes that I would have to pay. We're both working and it's just too much right now. We got kids in college. So what they've decided to do is they've decided to begin to add new money, but any new money that's going in is going into the impact investments. They have also decided that normally they have their investments just dividends reinvest and it just gets the accounts larger. They said, no, we don't want our dividends reinvesting into those old companies. We want to be able to build up money in the account with those dividends and put it into the impact investing. Mm-hmm. So I think, and I'd like you to speak to this as well, I think that we can approach it from different ways. Either A, I'm going to sell it all while the capital gains rates, I know what it is and I can do it now. Or we can say we're going to divide it up over a course of years to do it. Mm-hmm. Or just say, I want the new money to go into it. But the point is that we begin making the step to do impact investing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it depends on the account you have too, right? Like your mm-hmm. example of capital gains is if you're in a brokerage account and you have to pay gains on any sales.
Correct.
Well, if you're in an IRA or a tax sheltered or tax deferred vehicle, you can sell and have all the gains in the world and not pay taxes. So that could be a situation where, you know, a lot of people who have Roth IRAs or traditional rollover IRAs, they're not worried about the tax component. So that's something we can change without having that stipulation.
Oh, absolutely.
So it just kind of depends on your personal situation to do. But yes, you don't have to sell everything to be an impact mm-hmm. investing. We can add it to the portfolio. We can rebalance some of the portfolio. Somebody asked me, you know, what's the minimum to set up a new account for impact investing? I said, we don't have to do that at all. You can just rebalance what you currently have. And they're like, oh, okay, then yes, I want to do that. So it's not about new accounts necessarily. It really depends on you as the individual, what you want to see. But we are seeing a lot of money move to impact investing, not just here at Crystal Clear Finances, but as a broad market is concerned, mm-hmm. a lot of people are moving into the values-based space. You know, I think a lot of people want to be behind a good cause. Mm-hmm. Impact investing is a phenomenal cause to be behind, and it's a great way that I can create impact through mm-hmm. the money that I have invested in the market anyways, right?
Right.
We're just repurposing some of that money to invest in maybe different markets or different companies mm-hmm. to create that impact.
And it's empowering individuals where so many times you think, I'm just one person. But you know what? All these one people, when they begin to say, nope, my money's not going there, my money's going here, and they have quality companies that take care of their employees, that take care of the earth, they take care of one another, they have good products that help families, not hurt families. So many things that we can do with impact investing. Mm-hmm. And I love that you pointed out, if you're in an IRA or if you're in a Roth, hey, we can lock in the gains that we had from the others and we can begin to convert over. One thing I do want to say on that is I know that you've sat down with many individuals where they've brought in their accounts that mm-hmm. aren't values-based, and you've just been able to line them up with what we have and say dollar to dollar or like kind comparison, look what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. We have great software to compare your current portfolio to our impact portfolios and all the different models we have at Crystal Clear Finances. But it's been really interesting lately to see as a lot of people are curious about it. We've been talking a lot about mm-hmm. it, which is great. So if you ever want to know, hey, how does my portfolio stack up against an impact model? We can absolutely look at that for you, show you historical returns, what the risks have been, what the expense ratios are, the income, all of the different mm-hmm. pieces to go. Is this something not only for the values purpose, which is
right.
important,
right.
but is this something even from the math side, the number side that makes sense for me? A lot of times right now, our impact models look pretty good compared mm-hmm. to some of the other portfolios
Absolutely.
Out there.
And what I like too is we can also, if individuals are interested in seeing where not only they stack up from a return point of view, but also what they're invested in, we can provide a screen on that as well. Like, mm-hmm. okay, here's the companies you're invested in. Are you proud to own them?
Yeah.
And if they are, kudos, that's awesome. And if they're not, hey, we got an answer for you. So I'm looking at the clock and I'm also looking that there were four questions we didn't get to, so I may kind of push that to next week. But as we come to a close today, I'm hopeful that this whole month, when we talked about frequently asked questions when it comes to money, was able to help people feel confident when it comes to their finances. Mm-hmm. If you have more questions and you want to sit down with G and I, give us a call at 518-433-7181. Let's talk. Let's do that free initial consultation. So thanks, G, for joining
Absolutely.
Me. Thanks to our listeners. And if you are not watching us on our YouTube channel, why not? Go to Crystal Clear Finances YouTube channel and subscribe. And to everyone, join us again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless. This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living.
At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.